Good evening. Before we get started tonight, Robin has requested prayers for her cousin Carol, who has had two strokes. And we need to remember her and the Stevens family at this time, not only for their health, but for encouragement. And we hope that Steve and Robin will be able to be a source of encouragement for them. Let us bow and go to God in prayer together as brothers and sisters before we get into our lesson tonight. Dear Father, we humbly come to you and we're so thankful for the blessings that you give us. We ask that you please be with Robin's cousin Carol, that you be with the doctors in her treatments. We ask that you strengthen her. That's our desire. But more than anything, God, we hope that we always do your will in spite of what happens. Dear God, please let Steve and Robin be an encouragement to the family and a bright light in a time of darkness for them. Dear God, thank you again for all the blessings. Be with all of us, the individual trials that we all face, and we pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen. Nice to see you here tonight, as Dick always says, quality, not quantity. Those of you that are tuning in on the Facebook Live, we welcome you. We're going to be studying from the book of Zephaniah today. Yes, there is a book of Zephaniah. If you go to Matthew, and go back four books. That's where Zephaniah is. It's stuck right in between the H books of Habakkuk and Haggai. And it's at the tail end, or toward the tail end, of the Old Testament. This was written, Zephaniah was a prophet, and this was written prior to the Babylonian captivity. Prior to, in fact, it's prophesying of the coming destruction. And there's three things that I would like for us to kind of keep in the back of our mind as we read chapter 1 tonight, to kind of be looking for. One, God uses worldly things all around us to carry out his work, to carry out his will. The Babylonians, who had no interest in him, were used to carry out God's will. The tribe of Judah and Benjamin and the Levites were preserved during this time of captivity with the Word of God, the instruments for the temple, that they would be able to, they were isolated. And in a lot of ways, even though very negative things were taking place, God's will, and another item we'll look at, there was always a remnant of God's people. There's always been a remnant. There was a remnant on the ark. 8 people. There's no matter how dark things get today, there will be a remnant. Jesus said in Matthew that I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. The question we have to ask ourselves, will we always be in that remnant? We individually, will we be strong enough to be that remnant of God's people that keeps on keeping on? So, one item to keep in the back of our minds is that God uses worldly institutions. Doesn't mean that he's for them. God was not in favor of the Babylonians. God is not in favor of some of the things around us today. But they may be used by God for our benefit. Whether it be powers of me, whether it be different institutions, whatever. God used worldly institutions during the Babylonian captivity to carry out His work. There will always be a remnant. And the last thing, there is consequences for not following God. There are consequences that Israel must suffer for them not maintaining God's word. And so keep those three things in mind as we read Zephaniah, the first chapter. Starting in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. Verse 2, I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land, says the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, and the stumbling blocks along with the wicked. I will cut off man from the face of the land, says the Lord. But kind of tying in our lesson this morning to little things, but God is love. God would not destroy things like that. He did. He says He will. It says the Lord. Is this working?
I was just wondering if it was going to break you.
Testing. Excuse me. If you couldn't hear me, I was doing real good. I was doing great.
Just take one word for it. How's it? Oh, there we go. Yes. Yes. Sorry for those of you, if you're watching on the Facebook Live, sorry if you couldn't hear, didn't have the thing properly turned, the microphone properly turned on. We are in Zephaniah, the first chapter. And there at the end of verse 3, it says the Lord. God says He's going to destroy and consume everything in the land. That's kind of the flip side of the coin in Genesis, where God spoke into existence the world and everything that inhabits the earth. Not only can He create, but He has the power and the authority to destroy. Verse 4, I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off every trace of Baal from this place. The names of the idolatrous priest with the pagan priest. He is going to destroy those pagan idols that are against him. And he's not only going to destroy them, he's going to use that to preserve his people. Which is so, we wouldn't think that would be the case, but God is ultimately in control. Verse 5, those who worship the host of heaven on the housetops, those who worship and swear oaths by the Lord. But those who swear by Milcom, those who have turned back from following the Lord and have not sought the Lord, nor inquired of Him. Isn't that just the case? There are people in the world then, there are people in the world now, that have no interest in God. They don't seek Him, they don't inquire of Him, they don't seek after Him. And it says, those that have turned their back, now those are people, there at verse 6, those are people that had followed God, that have turned their back from following the Lord. That's God's people. And then the others that have not sought the Lord. He's going to bring wrath and destruction to people that have never even sought Him. That's why it's important for us to bring the gospel to them, to at least give people a chance to have served Him, to have heard, nor inquired of Him. I find that so interesting that well, look at the people. Well, God's love. He wouldn't destroy people that never heard of Him. It says He is. He is doing this. Verse 7, be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The last few weeks, we have been studying in Sunday morning Bible class, in Preston's class, about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Lord. And here, back in Zephaniah, it says, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It's close. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has invited His guest. And it shall be in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with foreign apparel. God never wanted His people to intermix and blend with the nations around them. And they did. God doesn't want that from us today. He warned the Israelites as they were going into the promised land, don't intermarry with these pagan peoples. Don't mix yourselves with their culture. And we see when that happens, all it does is dilute and pervert God's people. And God did not want that. And it says, I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with foreign apparel. When you start, and it's not just the clothes, but when we start looking like the world around us, not just the clothing, but when we start looking like and blending in, God does not like that. Verse 9, in the same day I will punish all those who leap over the threshold, who fill their master's house with violence and deceit. And there shall be on that day, says the Lord, the sound of a mournful cry from the fish gate, a wailing from the second quarter. These are areas in Jerusalem. It would kind of be like, if it was talking about Las Vegas, you know, things are going to happen, you know, up near Anthem or Spring Valley or, you know, in the southern end of the valley. That's what this is talking about. Certain things, certain areas within Jerusalem, and a loud crashing from the hills. Verse 11, wail, you inhabitants of Mektesh. That was a business district in Jerusalem. For all the merchant people are cut down. All those who handle money are cut off. don't you know there was some sense of security for people that had money that they you know, they've always felt secure? I can buy, you know, and there is some degree of power with money, some sort of independence with money. Or so I've heard, people that have got money. But there is some sort of an independence in your life. If you've got a lot of money, it closes a lot of the problems of just life. When you've got money coming in. But you know what? It can be a false sense of security too. Because here, God is telling these merchants, these people that do have money, woe to you. You know, I'm coming after you also. You're not going to be able to buy yourself out of this. Your money, your bribery, your influence, your sense of entitlement, it's not going to benefit you now. Verse 12, and it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled. I will punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. Therefore, their goods shall become booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink their wine. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities, against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. Colin brought up Romans 3:23 tonight, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59 verse 2, that our iniquities have separated us from God. And here, God is saying, because they have sinned against the Lord, there is going to be consequences. There always has been. We looked today at our scripture reading this morning was about Moses, how he was supposed to speak to the rock. And he didn't. He struck the rock. And he didn't get to go into the promised land. Doesn't mean that he lost his salvation, but there were consequences for not obeying God. Little things. And it says, because they have sinned against the Lord, their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. Reminded of the example we used this morning, Naaman, how he had leprosy, how people with leprosy, their skin in advanced stages, literally sloughs off. Parts of their body fall off because it is rotting and destroyed flesh. Their flesh like refuse. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. Isn't that story, that concept is from beginning of the Bible to the end, that regardless of who you are, rich, poor, tall, short, it doesn't matter. Whatever culture, if you follow God, you will be saved. But if you turn your back and if you become one of those men of complacency, quit following Him or don't inquire of Him out of apathy, the end result is all the same. Neither their, start over in 18, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of His jealousy, for He will make speedy riddance of all those who dwell in the land. This is chapter 1 of Zephaniah. The next time I have the opportunity to speak to you on Sunday night, we're going to look at chapter 2. But three different things that I think of with this is that God uses worldly institutions around us to carry out His will. There's always a remnant, and there are consequences for not following God. And I think these are some good messages that we can apply to our lives today. It's as applicable for us as it was for the time of Zephaniah. If you need to respond to the invitation, we have the time to do so right now. The invitation is always open if you need prayers, if you need to repent of sin, if there is sin keeping you from the relationship with God that He desires, by all means, use this time to repent of your sins. Whatever your need, please come forward while Don leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.